So we would like to welcome you to this Sunday feast program at Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Mandir. This International Society for Krishna Consciousness is a unique cultural movement inaugurated personally by Lord Sri Krishna in the words of Srila Prabhupada as recently as 500 years ago. Because in the cosmic time calculation, 500 years is a very short amount of time. Lord Krishna personally comes as Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and begins a very unique kind of presentation, and that is this Hare Krishna movement. It is a preaching movement. Of course, the word preach is a Western word, and like in the Judeo-Christian tradition, the Jewish and the Christian religion, it is a specific job of a specific order. Like a priest is supposed to preach, that's his job. But in Lord Chaitanya's movement, he wants everyone to preach. So how is it possible? Why should we preach, or can we preach, or what exactly is preaching, and what Lord Chaitanya did, how did he conduct himself? So in a short amount of time, we'll try to find some answers to these questions. So I thought I'll begin with Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, 4th Chapter, Text 1, which has a very unique idea about what do we mean by realization. And without realization, we can't preach. So this is 141 Srimad Bhagavatam, The Appearance of Sri Narada. Text 1. Vyasuvacha iti bruvanam samstuya muninam dirgasatrinam riddhakulapati sutam bhavricha shaunako bravit. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. On hearing Suta Goswami speak thus, Shaunaka Muni, who was the elderly learned leader of all the rishis engaged in that prolonged sacrificial ceremony, congratulated Suta Goswami by addressing him as follows. To give a small background about what is this about to happen, in a forest of Naimisharanya, thousands and thousands, about 80,000 sages have come together, and the only question in their mind is how to solve the unique problems which will be faced by all people of Kali Yuga. We also have scientists coming together and trying to find some solution to the ecological problem, or to the environmental crisis, or the food problem, or the unemployment problem. Of course, the only difference is nothing comes out of it. Like there was a anti-tobacco conference, and then some delegates came out for a cigarette break. So that means they were not really serious. They were interested in stopping others from smoking, but they couldn't give up themselves. So this was not that kind of conference. So in this conference, there has to be delegates, there has to be a leader. Who should be a leader? What should be his criteria? Normally we have people who are very eager to become a leader because of the fat salary or because of the name, fame which you get. But here, Shaunaka Muni, who was the leader of the participants, he requested Suta Goswami, one very elevated sadhu, that you speak and we all will listen. So here is what Prabhupada says about a proper satsang procedure. In a meeting of learned men, when there are congratulations or addresses for the speaker, the qualifications of the congratulator should be as follows. He must be the leader of the house and an elderly man. He must be vastly learned also. Sri Shaunaka Rishi had all these qualifications. And thus, he stood up to congratulate Sri Suta Goswami when he expressed his desire to present Srimad Bhagavatam exactly as he had heard it from Shukadeva Goswami and also realized it personally. So they are not interested in hearing from anyone. They are specifically interested in hearing Bhagavatam from someone who has heard Srimad Bhagavatam from his spiritual master, and not just heard but also personally realized it. And here is a very important thing which Prabhupada says. Personal realization does not mean that one should, out of vanity, attempt to show one's own learning by trying to surpass the previous acharyas. You are not supposed to show what a big scholar you are by negating the importance of all previous scholars or previous acharyas. He must have full confidence in the previous acharya, and at the same time he must realize the subject matter so nicely that he can present the matter for the particular circumstances in a suitable manner. The original purpose of the text must be maintained. Srila Prabhupada, you should say, if I tell you, give me a glass of water, and you tell someone, give me a glass of water, obviously the person who is bringing the glass of water knows it is for the person who ordered it, the first person. So if the second person who also repeated the same order gets the glass and starts drinking it himself, that's wrong. So there are gurus who tell people that surrender to guru. Surrendering to guru is a Vedic instruction. But what does the guru do with your surrender? He gives it to his guru, who gives it to his guru, and thus it goes back to Krishna. So if a guru takes the surrender or the worship given by his disciples and enjoys it himself, he is not a guru. So that is what is mentioned here. No obscure meaning should be screwed out of it. Yet it should be presented in an interesting manner for the understanding of the audience. This is called realization. The leader of the assembly, Shaunaka, could estimate the value of the speaker, Sri Suta Goswami, simply by his uttering Yatha Dhitam and Yatha Mati. And therefore he was very glad to congratulate him in ecstasy. No learned man should be willing to hear a person who does not represent the original acharya. Prabhupada is saying in Vedic times, no learned man would be willing to hear from anyone who does not represent the previous acharyas. So the speaker and the audience were bona fide in this meeting where Bhagavatam was being recited for the second time. Mind you, the first time when it was spoken by Shukadeva Goswami before Maharaj Parikshit, second time before by Suta Goswami before all the sages of Naimisharanya. That should be the standard of recitation of Bhagavatam, so that the real purpose can be served without difficulty. Unless this situation is created, Bhagavatam recitation for extraneous purposes is useless labor, both for the speaker and for the audience. So in no uncertain terms, Srila Prabhupada explains, what is the meaning of preaching and who can preach? There are three things mentioned in the Vedic Shastras. One is called Desha, second is Kala, and the third is Patra. Desha means the country or the place. Kala is the particular time. And Patra basically means a receptacle, a bowl. But in this case, Patra means a person. Because our mind is like a receptacle. We will be receiving what a person would be saying and digesting it or understanding it. So, Srila Prabhupada, when he went to the West, was he knowing what was in store for him? No, he had no idea. He had no idea that there is a hippie movement in the West. He had no idea that what kind of people would be coming for his classes. If you read his poem, he's just saying, "Oh Krishna, I am like a puppet in your hands. You make me dance. You make me dance the way you want. I don't care. You give me those proper words so that when I speak, your message will be understood by the people of America." In fact, there was a sadhu of an impersonalist mission in New York. This Swami is a sannyasi, but he was wearing shirt, full shirt, trousers, shoes. He also was smoking. So Prabhupada said, "What is this?" He said, "Look, I came here and I found that unless you eat with a spoon and a fork, unless you have table manners like the American people, unless you wear clothes like them, they won't listen to you at all." So of course, Prabhupada didn't tell him directly, but later he told that I had gone there to teach the Westerners how to sit on the floor and eat with your hands. He said, "I am not going to change myself, nor I am going to change my food habits." But at the same time, Prabhupada exactly knew what way this message of Srimad Bhagavatam could be given to the Westerners. He gave a very simple example. A Christian preacher went to a place which was newly assigned to him, and he saw that mostly people of that area were miners, coal miners, working deep below the earth. So he started his first Sunday program. They also have a Sunday sermon. And he started saying, "You have to surrender unto God. If you don't do it, you will all go to hell." And normally he knew that when he would make that kind of statement, people would be shocked. And they would ask him, "Oh my dear father, how do we save ourselves from hell?" But this time there was no reaction. People were just looking and he said, "What is he saying?" He said, "Hell, hell." And one person said, "Father, what is hell?" He said, "Oh my God, don't you know what hell is?" He said, "Hell is a very deep, dark place. It is all cold and dingy inside. There is no fresh food, no water, no light. People swear at each other, always fighting. Angry people all the time. The living condition is very bad." And he thought, now they will understand. Still no effect. Then someone said, "That's like our usual daily job. That's where we work every day." So, he understood, oh, that is the reason why they are not afraid of hell. So he took some time to learn from their community. And the first thing he noticed was, in whatever spare time, the miners would be solving those crossword puzzles in the newspaper. You know, they make you solve some crossword puzzle and they give you some trinket as a prize. So they were all addicted to solving crossword puzzles. So next Sunday he said, if you don't surrender to God, you'll go to hell. And hell is a place where there are no newspapers. And immediately the whole congregation became terrified. My God, no newspapers? That means no crossword puzzles? That means it would be a very bad place. No, 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 we don't go to that place. So they all came to him and said, please save us, save us. So this is according to Deshakala Patra. In fact, in some respects, Prabhupada was very strict. Very, very strict. And in some respects, he was very lenient. His guru, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he initiated 60,000 people in India. 60,000. But in many cases, the initiation was that somebody would take the beads and promise, from tomorrow I will start chanting Hare Krishna. In India, there are some bogus gurus. I have heard of one such initiation where the person calls a big maha satsang program and supposedly all the people are taught what is samadhi, and they say, now close your eyes, utter this mantra, and how many of you have seen the white light? And everybody sees each other and they say, okay, you didn't see it, I saw it, okay, I saw it. So almost 95% of the audience, they raise their hands. And then the guru announces, you are all initiated. That's it. So next time when some of our devotees give them a Bhagavad Gita and say, read Bhagavad Gita, chant Hare Krishna, they say, we have already taken Anugraha. So this kind of nonsense goes on, the name of Anugraha. But the fact is that Srila Prabhupada could have done the same thing. But he explained in one lecture that I am not after cheap disciples. What I want is sincere followers. So, of the sincere people who had come to his classes, he said, tomorrow we'll have initiation. And some of them were agreeable, some of them were not. But then, 5-6 months after initiation, he put a notice on the bathroom in that center that all initiates should follow 4 principles. No meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling, no illicit sex. And they were all shocked that he didn't tell this before. And of course, very few left. Because by that time they were in so much love with Prabhupada. And therefore Prabhupada once remarked, if I had gone to the West and told people that I have come here for stopping you from all these 4 habits, you would have told me, please go back. Why is that? Because in America, or practically all Western world, and sometimes in India too, civilization means these 4 habits. The government makes most of its money from the sales of liquor, from brothel licensing, from slaughterhouses, and from gambling lotteries. So that's why this is called Kali Yuga. Like, people feel we will lose our jobs. We will not live. There was a British gentleman who asked Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada's sannyas disciple, Swamiji, can you make me a brahmana? He said, yes, I can. What am I supposed to do? Just follow these 4 simple habits. No meat eating, no illicit sex, no gambling, no intoxication. You know what answer he gave? Impossible. He didn't say, I will try it next time, or, oh, is it so? No, he said like that. He said, impossible. I can never think myself of following any of these things. So that is the audience to which Prabhupada was preaching. So what is this thing called preaching? And what is this thing called realization? We saw that realization means you have to be truthful to the previous acharyas. If somebody asks you, where did you get your knowledge from? This is a challenge. Ask anyone in India today who thinks himself as a spiritual master, who is your guru? First of all, 9 out of 10 don't have gurus. And those who have, their gurus don't have any gurus. It's a fact. Most of them have concocted this thing from themselves. And therefore their formula is, do not follow anyone. When you say yes, you are following him. Isn't it? So how can you say that do not follow anyone? So therefore you have to have unbroken chain of disciplic succession. Not just 3-4 gurus behind you, but an unbroken chain of disciplic succession. That's the meaning of, it's as simple as this. Somebody constructs a house and he puts in a TV, a fridge, a stereo, fans, chandeliers, everything. And then he switches on the light and nothing happens. Why? Because it is not connected to the main power station. So fiddling with those switches won't give you light. Similarly, you have to be connected to the parampara. The word parampara means one after another. If somebody is calling himself a guru, he was a disciple before of his guru. Who was a disciple before of his guru? Right up to Lord Krishna, whom Shankaracharya himself called Jagat Guru. Krishnam Vande Jagat Guru. So Krishna speaking the Bhagavad Gita is speaking from the position of Jagat Guru. He is not just a disciple, a spiritual master of Arjuna who is his disciple. He is a guru for all of us. But because most people were not following his message, therefore Lord Krishna spoke the message of Bhagavad Gita. That was 5,000 years ago. But just in a span of 5,000 years, even what Krishna spoke, that also became a little bit diluted. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he appeared. Now Chaitanya, Krishna Chaitanya was his name. Just see, the name itself means Krishna consciousness. Krishna is Krishna, Chaitanya means consciousness. And he preached according to the Antya Leela of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita in 3 particular ways. Lord Chaitanya's preaching was in 3 particular ways. One of them is called direct preaching. Lord Chaitanya would directly meet someone and that's it. No other thing was required. The first 18 years of his life, he was staying as a grihastha. I mean, first 24 years of his life and the last 24 as a sannyasi. Of that, 18 were spent in Jagannath Puri. 6 years he spent traveling. And one such time was spent in traveling in South India. So Lord Chaitanya would go to one village, he would meet someone and he would tightly embrace him. And that person would go and start embracing others and they would become devotees. It was that powerful. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami describes that seeing the Lord personally appearing in India, Bharatvarsha, inhabitants of the 7 islands, of the 9 khandas, of Gandharva Lok, of Kinnara Lok, of the demigods planets, they would all come down here as human beings. Specifically to participate in Lord Chaitanya's direct meetings. Like most of you know, almost every year or every alternate year, devotees of Radha Gopinath Mandir, we go to Gaurmandala Bhumi, Lord Chaitanya's place of his pastimes. Now if we go, and if you read in the Chaitanya Charitamrita or Chaitanya Bhagavat, at this particular place, there were thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people assembled. We say, how did they come? There are no railways, there are no boats or no staying facilities. But try to understand, who were those people? Many of them were visitors from all parts of this cosmic manifestation. So this is easy to understand. The Lord would meet somebody and make that person into a devotee. Secondly, He would enter into the bodies of some particular devotees. That avesh. And anyone in that avesh would speak, laugh, cry, dance, preach, just like the Lord Himself. And that He did is one specific devotee called Nakula Brahmachari. In fact, last time when we had gone to Gaurmandal Bhumi Yatra, there was a plan to go to this place. It was called Ambuya at that time. Now it is called Ambika. Ambika Kalna is a railway station. And near that railway station is a locality called Pyari Ganj. It's a nice temple. And this is the temple where Narasimhananda Brahmachari would, Nakul Brahmachari would be doing his Seva Puja. So what is the meaning of Avesh? What is the meaning of the Lord entering into somebody's body? There is one particular devotee of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Shivananda Sen, who was a very wealthy person. His seva was to take everybody from Gaudadesh, from Bengal, and help them with their expenditure to come to Jagannath Puri. He would pay for their tolls, he would pay for their lodging, for their tents at night, for their boat charges, everything he would support them. So Shivananda Sen had this small doubt in his mind that people are saying that Lord Chaitanya has entered the body of Nakul Brahmachari. How is it possible? So he thought, if I go there and if Nakul Brahmachari knows that I have come there, he knows my name and he also knows what is my Guru Mantra. What is the secret mantra that my guru has given me? Then I can believe that he is actually having the Lord in his own body. So saying this, he goes to that place, that temple. There's a big crowd over there because everybody has come to see that Nakul Brahmachari has Lord Chaitanya coming in his body. It is something like you hear that somebody has a ghost in his body. And the whole village comes to see, what is this happened here? And then this man is shouting, shrieking, something similar, but in a very sublime sense. So Nakul Brahmachari is rolling on the ground, is chanting Hare Krishna, is laughing, is exactly like a ghostly haunted person. And his people around him, they cannot control him. And one among the crowd, way behind, is Shivananda Sen, just standing silently, not doing anything. At that time, Nakula Brahmachari controls himself somehow and he tells one of his assistants, two or three of you go and find Shivananda Sen. He's right at the back. And so, there are two, three people coming, shouting, Shivananda Sen, Shivananda Sen, where are you? Nakula Brahmachari wants to meet you. And when Shivananda Sen actually hears, there is a big uproar. You can't actually hear this. But when two, three people are shouting, somehow he hears it. He goes and approaches them. He says, I am Shivananda Sen. Well, what happened? What happened? They said, Nakula Brahmachari wants to meet you. So he brings him before Nakula Brahmachari. He says, you still doubt me?
And he says, my God, how did he learn? And then he comes closer and says, your Guru Mantra is the four syllable Gaur Gopal Mantra. And he immediately understands and he surrenders unto him that yes, this is the fact. There may be so many unscrupulous people taking advantage of this. But the fact is that the Lord sometimes does this. Why does he do it? Because there are some people who are so materially attached that the Lord cannot go and meet them. For 6 years, the Lord traveled all over India. Whomsoever he met, he preached to him. What about people in faraway lands? So we find in the life of Srila Prabhupada, before he went to the West, he was not the first sannyasi in India to go to West. There were 2-3 others. But all they did was, they went there, they had some followers, and that's it. There was no actual presentation of India's real culture. So one of Srila Prabhupada's godbrothers, B.R. Sridhar Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Maharaj, when he came to know about Prabhupada's preaching activities, he only uttered this shloka from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Kali Kaler Dharma Krishna Nama Sankirtana Krishna Shakti Vina Nahi Tara Pravartana. In Kali Yuga, if you want to know who is an actual incarnation of God, then you have to know that there is only one test. Who is propagating the holy names of Lord Krishna? And without personally being empowered by the Lord, nobody can do it. Like India has seen one person calling himself the combination of Ram and Krishna. Ram Krishna. But he said, chant the name of Kali. So Prabhupada said, when Ram came, he told, I am God. He showed his godhood. Krishna, when he came, he showed his godhood. The Acharyas came. They said, this Ram is bona fide, the one who defeated Ravana. And this Krishna is bona fide, the one who spoke Bhagavad Gita. And both of them were Vishnu Tattvas. So how come they forgot what they said only thousands of years ago? And now they are saying you can chant Kali's name also? They never said chant Kali, Kali. They never said you follow any path. Yatomat Tatopat. What does it mean? That means your opinion is as good as anybody else's opinion. Is it true? When you give an examination paper, you can't tell your examiner that my opinion is as good as your opinion. He says, my opinion is better than yours. Therefore, I am failing you. I do not agree to your conclusions. So, even in something so mundane like physics or engineering, his opinion counts. But people feel in higher, more subtle elements like spirituality, anybody's opinion is as good as anybody's opinion. It's wrong. So therefore, the way Srila Prabhupada preached, the way he touched the lives of so many thousands of people, that itself is proof enough that he also was one Shakti Avesh, one who gets the Shakti in doing so. So first is when the Lord meets directly. That is one kind of preaching. Second is when he enters into the body of someone. And thirdly, it is called Avirbhav. Avirbhav is sudden appearance. Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami describes, there are four places where Lord Chaitanya would inevitably be present. He says, Shachiro Mandire Nityananda Nartane Srivasa Kirtane Raghava Bhavane. Shachira Mandire, in the home of Lord Shachi. Shachi Mata would cook something, nice vegetables, sweets, and would place before her deity of Nimai. And then suddenly she would feel that I should go and look what's happened there. Because of the force of her love, the Lord would be forced to come there, eat everything, and go. So she would come and find the whole plate empty. And she would feel, oh, did I cook? Or I didn't cook at all. So I'm getting old. I'm not having that memory whether I cooked at all or not. So again she would cook. Again she would offer. And by the force of her love, again the Lord would be forced to eat that. And this would happen many times. When Nityananda Prabhu would start dancing, by the force of his love, he would bring Lord Chaitanya there. Then in the home of Shivas Thakur, in his courtyard, Shivas Angane, when the devotees would start dancing and singing the holy names, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, they would force the Lord to appear there. In fact, in one satsang program, see, this is how Prabhupada would immediately relate to a particular time and place. He told the devotees that, I think in America, people like to go to a lecture which is nicely advertised and in a public hall. So they said, yes. So they said, you arrange one lecture for me. And the devotees arranged. They spent about $200. Not a big sum in America, but a very big sum for ISKCON at that time. And they rented a hall. And it said, free lecture by Swami A.C. Bhaktivedanta. The capacity was about 250 seats. Only 8 people came. But Prabhupada gave a full lecture, as if the hall is chock full with people. And then when the 8 people left, the devotees came and they said, oh Prabhupada, we are so sorry. We wanted to advertise, but we don't know what to do. So only 8 people would come. Prabhupada said, no. Narad Muni had come. Lord Brahma had come. So that time nobody understood what this meant. And then when they went back to their center, Prabhupada started blasting all the organizers. He said, fools, why didn't you charge money? In your country, if something is free, free means useless. So, you should charge $2.50. Then people would come. So, he used this in both ways. He encouraged them by saying that one should do according to the time, place and situation. And then he said, which nobody was even dreaming, that to hear what Prabhupada is saying, all these great personalities are coming and listening to him. In fact, not once, but on a few occasions, Prabhupada remarked that many higher beings are present when he is speaking. He didn't make a capital out of it, nor are we supposed to make an imitation form out of it. But the fact is, looking at Prabhupada's stature, looking at his position as an empowered representative, it's no wonder that even these great souls have that desire to participate in Prabhupada's preaching. The third way in which Lord Chaitanya would preach is appearing before someone. We discussed about this avirbhav. So this is the regular way he would do. And one such thing which he did was when he appeared before Narasimhananda Brahmachari. It's a nice story. Lord Chaitanya took sannyas. Normally a sannyasi should not stay in his home. So he has to go out. So he said, I am going to Vrindavan. But the devotee said, please don't do that. Vrindavan is so far away. So then his mother came before him. And Shachi Mata said, please, listen to me, my son. Why don't you stay in Jagannath Puri? Jagannath Puri and Bengal are like the two rooms of a same house. People go there regularly. She said, if you go there, I also will be getting regular news about yourself. So Lord Chaitanya agreed. Every year during Chaturmas, the 4 months of the rainy season, all the devotees from Bengal would go to Jagannath Puri on a yatra. Just imagine, they would not have anything to do with their business, their profession, their trade or whatever. 4 months holiday in a year. Who would not like such a job? Of course, you have to be a pure devotee for that. And they would be satisfied with what they would get. So, Shivananda Sen would make all the arrangements. One day, Shivananda Sen's nephew, Shrikant Sen, he went to Jagannath Puri for the Chaturmas. And Lord Chaitanya kept him near him, gave him very good association, was very happy. And while he was on his way back to Bengal, Lord told him, next year for Chaturmas, do not come to Jagannath Puri because I am thinking of visiting Bengal myself. In the month of December, January, that is Paush. In the month of Paush, I am coming to Bengal. So please tell the devotees, don't take the trouble of coming here. So Shrikant was very happy. He went back. He told everybody. They also were very happy. In fact, Advaita Acharya at that time was just making his preparations for leaving Bengal and going to Puri. But when he heard that there is no need of going, the Lord himself is coming, he said, good. So the first month of Chaturmas came and left, second, third, fourth. And Chaturmas finishes around Kartik time, and there is still some period. And then in the month of Paush, the Lord was supposed to come. Then the whole month passed, and still no news. So devotees are very unhappy as to what is this. So then there was this Narasimhananda. His actual name was Pradyumna. But he was so attached to serving Lord Narasimhadev that Lord Chaitanya himself gave him the name. Your name is Narasimhananda. One who gets pleasure in serving Lord Narasimhadev. So when Narasimhananda saw that many devotees are sad, he said, what happened? He said, the Lord said he will come, give us darshan, but still no sign. He says, don't worry. I will meditate, and in my meditation, I will bring him. So he just sat down. And in his meditation, he was bringing Lord Chaitanya all the way from Jagannath Puri to Bengal. Then at a time, he broke his meditation and he said, I have brought the Lord to this place called Panihati. If you know, we all go there, especially after the yatra is over, because it is near Calcutta. Panihati is a place where the famous Chidadahi festival is observed. So as Narasimhananda was saying that the Lord is in Panihati, he said, now give me some bhoga. I will cook and I want to offer this because the Lord has come there. He will eat. And everybody is wondering, what is he saying? He will be offering and the Lord will be eating. Still, Shivananda Sen made all the arrangements. So he cooked first class prasad. So many sumptuous items. And then he made three offerings. One for Lord Jagannath, one for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and one for Narasimhadev. And he sat down outside the temple. He closed the doors. And he began chanting the offering prayers. Normally, devotees offer the Lord anything with that prayer. Namo Brahmana Devaya Go Brahmana Hitaya Cha Jagad Hitaya Krishnaya Govindaya Namo Namaha. But something very strange took place. He is seeing in his mind that Lord Chaitanya ate all the three offerings. He said, what is this? I know there is no difference between Lord Chaitanya and Jagannath, they are the same. But then why should he eat offering meant for my Lord Narasimha Dev? He is starving. And by the logic of, if the Swami starves, if the master starves, then the servant cannot eat. So he said, I am also not going to eat anything. And the devotee said, no, don't do like this. So he said, look at your Prabhu. Look at your Lord Chaitanya, what he did. He ate offering from all three plates. Now I have to cook again a separate offering for Lord Narasimha Dev, because unless he gives permission, I can't eat. Now why did the Lord do this? In fact, this Narasimhananda Brahmachari, he actually secretly wanted to know what is the difference between... He knew that Lord Chaitanya and Jagannath are one and the same. But he was wondering whether Narasimhadev also is the same. Is Lord Chaitanya the same with all Vishnu Tattvas? So in this pastime, the Lord completely quelled his doubt. So then he offered again. And next year, when the devotees had all gathered at Jagannath Puri, Shivananda Sen brought this topic of Narasimhananda doing this offering. At that time, Lord Chaitanya revealed. So in these three ways, just see, no other incarnation took so much trouble to actually go and give himself. What is the reason? The reason is, in Kali Yuga, people are very slow. Slow to spiritual understanding. Very less intelligence. If a person is sick, like normally if you have some cough and cold, and you have to do your work, so you go to a doctor, and you say that, please, give me some medicine. Or you may just buy your medicine on the way, pop it in your mouth and carry on with your interview or whatever. If a person is very sick, he just cannot get up from his place, then they call the doctor for a house visit. His relatives say that, oh, he's very sick. He cannot come. The doctor has to come to his place. So in the previous yugas, if a village would hear that, hey, a sadhu has come and he is staying near this village, forest, the whole village would go and listen from him. But in Kali Yuga, the sadhus have to go and find people. And they are also in jungles, except it's a cement jungle. It's not a forest jungle, tree jungle. To complicate the matter even further, if our patient, in our example, he becomes a lunatic, he becomes mad, then what happens? Then if the doctor says, are you mad? The patient says, no, I think you are having something wrong with your brain. He says, no, you should take this medicine. And the patient will say, you take it first. So how do we give medicine to a madman? You have to have a lot of patience, extraordinary patience. You have to have a special medical facility only for them. Because everybody there thinks everybody else is mad except them. So that is a special situation of Kali Yuga, where not only people are not qualified for dhyana or yoga or meditation or fire sacrifices or large scale deity worship, but they don't care whether they go to hell or not. Like in one lecture, one hippie stood in front of Prabhupada and said, Swamiji, you said if I don't follow your instructions, I am going to become a dog in my next life. So Prabhupada said, yes, that danger is there. He said, I don't mind. Prabhupada said, you have my blessings. What to do? So how are you going to convince someone? Therefore, Prabodhananda Saraswati, another devotee, very intimate follower of Lord Chaitanya, he said the only thing which works in Kali Yuga is that you have to go before a person, fold your hands and praise him. I have never seen a better scholar than you. He may say, hey, that's true. I have never seen a more cultured person than you. In fact, you are a very polished gentleman. After some time he would say, how is it that you are knowing so much about me? Who told you? Then you say, please forget everything what you have heard and just take shelter of Lord Chaitanya. And to a room of his disciples in America, Prabhupada said, and add one more line and give me your wallet. Because you will be using your money for, you know, your own sense gratification, which is bad for you. Of course, the humor apart, this exactly is what Prabhupada did. All other forms of, as they say, preaching from a high horse, that doesn't work in Kali Yuga. More than the, like one devotee gave a lecture recently in Mayapur, and somebody is mercifully sending those transcripts, Prabhupada himself once remarked that these Western people, they are proof hungry. For every small thing they want a proof. God is like this, what is the proof? God exists, what is the proof? God says like this, what is the proof? For everything you want a proof. And you want a proof where you are. I want to see God before me right now. And then I will surrender unto him. So Prabhupada said, God is not your personal servant, that he will come before you. There was an atheist in America. He would hold big meetings. Big asatsang. you can't call it a satsang. And he would convince people God doesn't exist. And the last presentation was the clincher. The tour de force of that. What is that? He would say, I am giving God 2 minutes, 120 seconds exactly. Now I am going to shout the most vile abuse words. That if you go in front of somebody's house and you call him ABCD XYZ, he's going to come out angry. So he said, similarly, I am going to shout at the heavens. They think God is in heaven up. So I will shout at him. And then give him 120 seconds to kill me. He can kill me by having an earthquake or a thunderbolt on me, whatever. So this fellow would shout these abuses and then count in his watch up to 120. And after 120 seconds, he would say, look, nothing has happened. I am still alive. So this God of yours doesn't exist. And people would be convinced that yes, if God is, what is one definition of God? He's all powerful. So if the all powerful person cannot even sort of protect his own reputation, what kind of God is he? In the same way, in the communist countries, the communist authorities would encourage people that you go in your church. And what is the prayer you chant? Oh God, give us this day our daily bread. And then the Communist Party people would come with a big truck of bread. And they would start distributing. They would say, now tell us, dear communist comrades, give us our bread. And when people would say that, they would say, okay, here is your bread, take it. And then they would say, so who is more powerful? Your God in the church or the Communist Party? So of course, at least regarding the communist example, Prabhupada said, but who gave these rascals the grain to make the bread? If Krishna doesn't give rain, there are no grains, how will they make bread? And secondly, about the first one, who wanted to curse God and God didn't kill him, God did kill him in his own time. God is not somebody's servant to do anything what you please. In fact, God doesn't need to kill anyone here. They are already dead because of their material bodies. This body has a fixed time. Just like if you have a toy with a drummer, you wind him and he starts drumming. But that's not going to be it for eternally. As the power of the winding mechanism goes down, one day he has to stop. Similarly, the body has to stop one day, whether God kills you or not. So these are some of the peculiar situations of Kali Yuga. So now we come to the question, we may say, okay, Prabhupada, you said, is a preacher, Lord Chaitanya is a preacher, Lord Ram, his activities are there in the Ramayana, Krishna, he spoke, that is the Bhagavad Gita, his activities are there in the Srimad Bhagavat. But who am I? I am not even a devotee till now. I don't even know how to take care of my own self. So how can I be a preacher? True, we are not expected to become preachers in the sense of Shaktavesh. Or we are not preachers in the terms of having the Lord Avirbhav presence in front of us. But we are preachers, all ISKCON followers are supposed to be preachers because they want to be dear to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He says in Chaitanya Charitamrita, I instruct every man and woman on this planet Earth to take this mission as their life and soul. So there is a popular saying, each one teach one. Isn't it? Similarly, we need to tell people, what is Lord Krishna's message? What is Lord Chaitanya's message? You preach Lord Krishna's message. That's it. And Krishna's message is, surrender unto me. That's simple. So devotees who preach, they don't have this pride. Like there's the example, there's a famine, drought, in a particular tract of land. And a big landlord, he says, from tomorrow I am going to feed whoever wants to come to my place. Free food. And he sends his messengers in the nearby villages. Tell everybody, whoever wants free food can come and eat. So his messengers, when they go and they give the message, they don't say that, come, I am going to feed all of you. They give the message that our master, who is the landlord, who is very rich, he is very powerful, he has the power to feed thousands and thousands. On his behalf, we are inviting you. Please come. Similarly, preachers on behalf of Lord Chaitanya and Prabhupada, we say we don't have the power to uplift you. We don't have the power to even uplift ourselves, what to speak of you. But we do this because our authorities, they have immeasurable amount of love of God. It is said the love of God was like a very, very precious treasure. Normally, if something is very precious, it is kept concealed. It is kept in a very secret place. So this was like a bhandar, a godown. And this godown has a big lock. What was that lock? All the items necessary for personal purification. Austerity, cleanliness, truthfulness, simplicity. Nobody has this automatically in Kali Yuga, so nobody could get love of God. So this Pancha Tattva, Shri Krishna Chaitanya, his brother Nityananda, Advaita Acharya, Gadadhar Pandit, and Srivas Thakur, they broke open that lock. They went inside the godown and plundered everything, brought it outside, put it on the street and said, take it. That is how they are distributing. And Lord Chaitanya said, this is like distributing some very sweet fruit. I am a Mali, I am a gardener. I don't have enough hands to distribute it. So first of all, you eat. Like normally, we also do that. Our prasadam servants, We say that you take prasad first fully. Then you can serve others with enthusiasm. Otherwise, while you are serving, you also would be drooling as to know how much sweet this fellow is eating. So that should not happen. So you take to your full. There is enough. And now that you are fully satisfied yourself, now be very enthusiastic to go and give it to others. On whose behalf? On behalf of the Panchatattva. So this is like a short summary of what is preaching according to the principles given by Lord Chaitanya himself and as given to us by Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki? Shishi Radha Gopinath ki? Thank you very much. Are there any questions? Kirtan now, and then afterwards we'll have prasad for everybody. So everybody please rise for kirtan.